Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, July 3rd, 2026. And Saturday, July 4th, 2026. It's the holiday edition. And we'll start today's reading on the front page with Investing in Community Journalism, New Hope for Local News. Why David Hoffman is investing in newspapers, including yours. Meet the man who's on a mission to save your newspaper. David Hoffman is ignoring the naysayers who wrote off newspapers a long time ago. He sees things differently. Hoffman believes in the power of local news to strengthen communities and the country, and he's backed that conviction with tens of millions of dollars. You know, Hoffman says with a grin, we're running right toward some things that everybody else is running away from. That's why in February, Hoffman became the chairman of the board of Lee Enterprises, which owns this newspaper and publications in more than 100 other markets. To understand why he's doing this and how he's able to requires a look at an improbable backstory. Hoffman grew up in Washington, Missouri, a small town west of St. Louis. His dad was a milkman, his mother a waitress, and they struggled to put food on the table and buy coal to heat the house. They had no running hot water. Those things stay with you, Hoffman says quietly. As a star high school athlete, he attended Northeast Missouri State on an athletic scholarship and earned his degree from the University of Central Missouri. He got his start in the corporate world and eventually found his way to the executive search business, which he loved. Hoffman started his own search firm, which thrived and eventually gave him the chance to acquire more businesses. Hoffman now owns 127 companies. In June, his purchase of the Pittsburgh Penguins was finalized, a $1.75 billion deal. He has made the Forbes billionaires list for 5 straight years. This year rising to number 1,571 among the world's richest people. In 2023, Hoffman received the Horatio Alger Award, a prestigious honor recognizing people who have overcome significant obstacles to achieve success. It's funny, the events that change a life. When he was just 9 years old, Hoffman pitched a no-hitter for his Little League team. The life-changing moment, though, came afterward. The local newspaper, The Missourian, wrote a story about the no-hitter and ran it with Hoffman's picture. That made a huge impact on me, Hoffman says. It piqued my interest in the newspaper, and I started reading it. No, he never stopped. I can honestly say that from the time I was in fourth grade to the present, through high school, college, throughout my career, wherever I've lived all over the country, I've always kept up with Washington, Missouri, he said. Stayed in touch with local news. That great, fabulous newspaper kept me connected to my community, even when I was living in other parts of the world. The motivation to save newspapers. 5 years ago, Hoffman wanted to read about the athletic exploits of his grandchildren in the Chicago area. Unfortunately, that type of local sports coverage wasn't as plentiful as he expected. Hoffman remembers. He found out that the Pioneer Press in Glenview, one of Chicago's northern suburbs, had recently closed up shop. It made me realize what that meant for many small communities across America, he said. The newspaper builds the fabric of a community, celebrates it. What's going on? What's going to take the place of that? He said. Hoffman believes that sense of belonging that he remembers from growing up in a small town is essential to the country's future. What will we become without it, he asks. A country of driveless cars, not knowing our neighbors and our kids sitting there playing video games? Is that what we want? In today's transient world, he continues, people can live wherever they want to live, but I've got to believe where you're going, where you're living, you want to like it, or you're going to find a way to move someplace else. I think people want to be proud of where they live, and that's no better way to make what that happened then with a newspaper. So, In 2022, Hoffman started buying community newspapers. He bought the Missourian. He's very proud to own this 125-year-old hometown newspaper. He kept buying papers, 42 titles so far, which would by itself make him one of the country's largest newspaper investors. But Hoffman also has been a shareholder in Lee Enterprises, the publicly traded company that owns newspapers nationwide, including the Buffalo News, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Omaha World Herald, and others. In February, Hoffman led a $50 million strategic equity private placement in Lee, investing $35 million personally and guaranteeing the rest, which was raised from Lee's existing investors. Simultaneously, Hoffman joined Lee's board of directors as its chairman. The transition had a huge impact on the company's cash position, making the balance sheet much healthier and lowering the interest on its debt from 9% to 5%, which means an estimated $90 million in savings over 5 years, or $18 million per year. Lee's stock price is up sharply since the announcement. Hoffman named Nathan Becky, who has worked for Lee more than 35 years, as company CEO. "We ran a nationwide search and figured out that we had the right guy right here," Hoffman said. The local tie that binds, one of the first things Hoffman made clear, was that he's not interested in eliminating the print versions of his newspapers, or Lee's. Strengthen digital content and presentation, yes, but not to the exclusion of the company's print operations. These newspapers will continue to have a print edition, Hoffman said, unless I go broke, and I don't think that's going to happen. He has made that pledge to community leaders as he has toured the larger Lee market since assuming his role, adding that frequency of print publication may be reduced, but the print nameplates will endure. That's startling in an industry where the future is almost universally seen as all digital. But Hoffman knows that advertisers and a significant number of the company's customers will still want a print product, and his new CEO agrees. "Our commitment to print is not about resisting change, it's about serving customers," Becky said. "At the same time, we continue investing in digital products, digital subscriptions, and digital audiences growth. The future of local news is not a choice between print and digital. It's about a business that leverages the strength of both." David understands that balance well. Beck and Hoffman say that they have grown close, not because of their roles, but because of their shared beliefs surrounding the importance of sustaining strong community news throughout the country. David's approach is often described as hyper-local, and I think that's fair, Beck says. Beck, or Becky, B-E-K-K-E. "In many ways, it's a concentrated expression of principles that have guided my own career for decades. Local decisions matter, local journalism matters, and communities are best served when news organizations are deeply connected to the people they cover. Here is what has been most refreshing for Lee's newsrooms. The company, since Hoffman's investment, has modestly reinvested in key local news reporting jobs. At each place Hoffman has visited, and in some Lee properties he has not yet seen in person, newsrooms have increased the number of journalists covering their communities, often with news reporters covering local business and development or high school sports. Hoffman's thoughts on editorial content are clear. He is passionate about business news and believes that inevitably, to be successful, local newspapers must support local businesses, and vice versa. He believes in strong local sports coverage and a fair and balanced look at a community's full ecosystem. Lee newspapers in recent months have launched The Bright Side, an initiative to tell local stories that are uplifting and positive. There is no shortage of these, and the response from leaders has been, well, positive. Lee's reporters also spent a lot of reporting octane, exploring what America's 250th birthday means to local readers. Just like life, local news is all about balance. We will always investigate corruption, and shed light on malfeasance. But we also owe it to our readers to showcase the good in their community, says Lee Chief Content Officer Jason Adrians, who has been with the company for more than 25 years and also served as national news editor, executive editor at the Wisconsin State Journal in Madison, and top editor at the Casper Star Tribune in Wyoming. Our chairman's focus on balance and fairness isn't just responsible, it's refreshing. Our readers deserve it. Hoffman's overall business, the Hoffman family of companies, is growing rapidly. At last count, Hoffman owns 127 companies. His two sons, Jeff and Greg Hoffman, run the private equity and real estate arms of the business, respectively. It's unique. Not many families get to experience something like this, especially with the level of success we've had, Greg Hoffman says of the working arrangement. David Hoffman, though, is spending a great deal of time on his newspaper mission and a new development. Lee has entered into an agreement to manage Hoffman's other newspapers, too, bringing the total number of newspapers under Lee management to about 150. Still, Becky emphasizes that Lee and Hoffman are not seeking uniformity from market to market. Local journalism works best when it remains local, Beck said. The goal is to combine the advantages of scale with the strength of local decision-making and local relationships. In many respects, Beck said, that captures why our partnership works. We share a belief that local matters. We share a commitment to the people who do the work. We share a determination to build a sustainable future for local news. And we share confidence that communities across America continue to need and deserve strong local journalism. Hoffman is determined and confident that his mission to save local news and newspapers will succeed. It's what I believe, you know, Hoffman said. I believe in newspapers, and I believe in the community, and I think in this country and in this world, it's never been more important. And the large photo on the front page is of David Hoffman, who believes newspapers are vital to the health of a local community. He became chairman of the Lee Enterprises Board of Directors in February. And there's a quote. It's his, mainly just a headshot of Mr. Hoffman. His quote is, I believe in newspapers and I believe in community. And I think in this country and in this world, it's never been more important. And another smaller photo here on the front page shows him holding a newspaper, the Buffalo News. Chairman David Hoffman held a roundtable discussion in June with business and community leaders in Buffalo, New York. He believes business and newspapers need to support each other to thrive. Also on the front page is The Bright Side, the village to honor Lawton's 100th, Mowikwa retiree, most humble man, born July 4th. Mowikwa resident and retired high school math teacher Bob Lawton has celebrated his July 4th birthday and Independence Day together for 99 years. It's never been a big deal until this year, Lawton said as he prepares to turn 100. Then all of a sudden, the 4th of July is a big one. Mowikwa has issued a proclamation making it Mr. Lawton Day on July 4th. The community is invited to visit him and his family for an open house celebration from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Mowikwa Community Center at 415 North Main Street. Lawton family has admired their patriarch and tried to emulate his lifestyle. He has the most opportunistic attitude of anybody I've ever met, said his son Kevin Lawton. Stuff just rolls off his back. He's just grateful. Bob Lawton's appreciation for others may be his biggest attribution for a long life, his son said. He's always spending a lot more time thinking of other people than he has ever thought of himself, Kevin Lawton said. That's part of the equation. However, Bob Lawton has his own perspectives on how to get to 100. I just felt like I wouldn't be sick, he said. I very seldom was. This July 4th has spent the same will be spent the same as his other birthdays, out on the golf course with his son and grandchildren. The rest of the family will gather for a birthday party. But this year we're inviting everyone, Kevin Lawton said about the open house. Bob Lawton is a good advertisement for the Moquegua Golf Course. He's been a staple here for years, said Brad Burcham, director of golf. Burcham shares the centenarian's love of the sport and hints it might be part of the secret to a long life. I believe it's an entire lifestyle and the exercise, both physically and mentally, he said. Bob Lawton retired from teaching advanced high school math classes at Moquegua High School some 4 decades ago. 2 years were spent teaching in American Samoa. The subjects he taught in high school helped keep the mental edge, Burcham said. Although teaching was his career, Bob Lawton held other jobs, including driving a school bus and working construction during the summer breaks. He's really always been a hard worker, Kevin Lawton said. The golf course became a focus of after retirement. Bob Lawton helped with the creation of the Moquegua Golf Course nearly 30 years ago. He's still often found playing the first 9 holes, an area he helped build. We rolled out the grass for cart paths and built the greens, he said. Despite his having had 2 knee replacement surgeries, he doesn't blame golf for his medical problems. Golf doesn't hurt anything, he said. According to his son, Bob Lawton has been reacting to the excitement like he does any other birthday. He appreciates it, but he's not wrapped up in it, Kevin Lawton said. He's just really the most humble guy. With age comes a new physical setbacks, but he's super resilient, Kevin Lawton said about his dad. After a recent visit to a cardiologist, the senior Lawton was entertained to schedule next year's appointment. He said, I wonder why he thinks I'll be here, Kevin Lawton said, recounting the conversation with his dad. I said, I don't think anybody's betting against you. And then here's a picture here on page 8, showing Kevin Lawton sitting with his father, Bob Lawton, at the Moquegua Golf Course on Wednesday, July 1st. And they're both smiling deeply there with their golf clothes on. And the elder, Bob Lawton, has looks like a cool drink with a straw. He's holding it in his hand. And there's also a small picture of Mr. Lawton with his sunglasses and golf cap on the front page. Macon Speedway geared up for Herald and Review 100. Racing system updated. Good showing expected. The 46th annual running of the Herald and Review 100 is slated for Sunday night at Macon Speedway as part of DIRT Car, Dirt Car, Summer Nationals with super late models and modifiers leading the action. Here's what to know about the race and how the Speedway is faring in its 3rd year under new ownership. Track reinvestment. Instability was never an issue for Macon Speedway under the ownership of Bob Sargent, who spent 37 years running the track before selling in November 2022. That's when new ownership changed hands again within 18 months of Sargent's sale, as Chris Kearns sold the Speedway to the Brown and Turner families. In their 3rd year running things, the families are pouring resources into the Speedway. It won't be long before the effects are visualized. Any profit we make, we're reinvesting it into the track, co-owner Kenny Brown said. The upgrades can't be seen right now. Excuse me. We put in a new loop. We updated the transponder, the racing system. We did the tower. We've done a lot of structural stuff that can't be seen. After this year, we'll start to see the changes. Brown said the ownership group is coming around after it took a while to understand the demographics of the racetrack, explaining the unknowns under the dirt and water and creeks that run below the Speedway. But that support has been present. That support, not only from the community, but even the racers, is integral to keep the track running, he said. H&R 100 on Sunday. One of the biggest races of the year is Sunday with the Herald and Review 100, which is being sponsored by Pepsi. Pits open at 3 p.m., grandstands at 5 p.m., and hot laps will start at 6. The modifieds are vying for $1,500 to win, and the super late models have $7,500 on the line. Trey Mills narrowly beat out Brandon Shepard in last year's late model running. Brown said that they anticipate a great crowd to show, especially with earlier showings and only the two classes running, with the expectation with the racing to be done by 9 p.m. An additional factor to the race's intrigue is that multiple Dirt Car Summer Nationals events have been rained out recently. Regular racing. Looking ahead to the rest of this year's schedule and beyond, Brown laid out the reality of where Macon Speedway and racing in general is headed. We still want to continue to do regular racing. I wouldn't call it a weekly racing because I don't think tracks can run weekly anymore, Brown said. It's getting tougher and tougher. The racers, well, they work for a living. We know the economy that we're living in right now can't support it, including the Herald and Review 100. There are 7 more scheduled events at Macon Speedway this year. On page A2, Decatur drug dealer sentenced to 12 years. A major drug dealer in Decatur has been sentenced to 12 years in prison. Eric R. McGee, 34, took a plea deal and admitted the Class X felony in dealing cocaine. Members of the Decatur Police Department's Community Action Team, which targets drug dealers, reported seizing 4 ounces of cocaine and 1 ounce of crack cocaine when they raided his home in the 900 block of South Franklin Street on November 18th. Officer Clayton Zills, who signed a sworn affidavit, said police also found 9.5 pounds of methamphetamine in a bag stuffed under McGee's bed during the raid. He's been charged with dealing in that drug as well, but that count was dropped as part of the plea deal when the defendant appeared at Macon County Circuit Court on June 17th. McGee has been found to have $2,800 in cash, 2 cell phones, and 2 digital scales when he was arrested, and police said he never tried to hide how he made his living. McGee admitted to selling methamphetamine, Zill said. He thought he had sold maybe 1/2 ounce or whole ounce from the bag of methamphetamine found in his bedroom. Passing the sentence, presiding Judge Thomas Griffith agreed to give McGee a 62-day credit off his sentence for his service as a trustee in the Macon County Jail, where he had been held since being arrested. The judge also ordered McGee to pay $250 to have his DNA added to a criminal database maintained by the state police. Lake Mattoon. Lake Mattoon's North End Marina Beach Open. The Lake Mattoon Marina has reported that both its facility and the north end of the lake have been reopened after being closed for more than 2.5 days during the Illinois State Police's ongoing death investigation at the lake. In addition, the marina has reported that the nearby beach reopened on Thursday, July 2nd, after being closed since June 25th due to elevated E. coli bacterial levels being detected there. State police investigators were called in Sunday evening after boaters found the arm of a man in the lake. Investigators subsequently released 2 images of distinct tattoos on his arm to the public, which helped identify the man as Dale Wayne Turner, 38, of Plainfield. The state police's investigation into his death continuing, but the agency has reported there is no threat to the public. While state police investigators were conducting searches with the help of the Lincoln Fire Protection District's dive team, the causeway over the lake had been closed to vehicular traffic, and the water north of this bridge had been closed to boat traffic. The causeway reopened on Tuesday. The reopening of the beach, open daily from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., followed the city sending in two recent samples of the water there for testing by the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. On Thursday, the city reported those samples showed E. coli levels of 12 and 13.1 per 100 milliliters, well below the Illinois Department of Public Health's recreational water quality standard of 235 per 100 milliliters. These results are a significant improvement from the previous samples of 344.8 and 325.5 per 100 milliliters, the city reported. E. coli can be produced by farm runoff, septic tank leaks, and animal feces. The E. coli at the beach did not affect the city's drinking water, which is drawn from the lake from Lake Paradise and then treated before distribution. In more local news on page A3, Decatur Park District, Board okays mower purchase. The Decatur Park District needed a new boom mower. Executive Director Clay Gerhard told the Park Board at its Wednesday meeting that the existing mower with a 14-foot reach tended to tip when the boom was extended to its full length. He began looking for a replacement and realized how expensive they were. Then he found out the city of Decatur was planning to buy a new boom mower too, and he approached them about the possibility of sharing it with the park district if the board would go halves on the purchase price. However, if anything happened to the mower while the park district was using it, the entire cost of repairs would be the park district's responsibility. Then the city suggested an alternative. The park district could buy their used boom mower with a 24-foot reach for $50,000. That's a good price, Gerhard told the park district board, and intergovernmental cooperation such as this helps both entities get what they need. The used mower is only a few years old, is in good condition, and the board approved the purchase. The board also approved two leases with Sol America Energy, a company that wants to lease park district property, a 4-acre parcel lot near the Borg Warner complex and the 3-acre area in Fairview Park that used to serve as the Fairview Pools parking lot. The company wants to use those parcels to park storage containers that contain batteries which store energy from solar panels. Both parcels are near substations, Gerhard said. At this point, Sol America is willing to pay a premium each year of the leases as they work toward getting the proper permits and releases to install those containers. And if they do and use the parcels for the containers, they will pay the Park District $40,000 for use of the larger parcel and $35,000 for the smaller one annually, with a 2% raise each year. If the projects do not prove viable and the company has to give up the plan, the park district will suffer no financial damage. Neither parcel is useful for the park district. The one near the Borg Warner complex is not used by the park district and is covered with brush, and the Fairview Pool parking area is used only for storage of landscape materials, Gerhard said. Both are out of sight of most residents and wouldn't create eyesores. Gerhard said that the park district receives 1/3 of its annual budget from taxes, but the other 2/3 of costs must be raised through admission fees and leases. We do this type of thing to offset revenue we don't get from taxes to offer everything we have, he said. We are blessed. Other communities don't have all the things we have. And there's a picture here showing Chris Harrison from the Decatur Park Board of Commissioners talking with Decatur City Councilman Dennis Cooper and David Horn after breaking ground for the clubhouse at Scoville Acres, the Decatur Park District's new senior activity center, on May 5th. And the boom mower, it's not a boom mower, it's a cat digger, is in the background. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, July 3rd, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.